This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat?
Isaac Robb.
Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. We need more dogs.
Jason Sukanik.
Try to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there.
This is Primetime on the Fan Sports Network.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow. Looking in the mirror. Be a dog.
105.1 and 1080.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
The Fan.
Oh, happy Monday to you on a sneaky little sunny, nice late October day here in the Rose City. Jason Sukanik back from Portugal. No Isaac Robb today. No Jordan Schultz. No Ryan Buckley. But one of my favorite human beings in the entire world, who I've said many, many times, just looking at that wonderful bearded face puts a smile on my face. The greatness that is Jeff Rust.
Y'all are blessed with my presence today.
Ah, thank you, Rusty. Well, to peel back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was gone last week. I was over in Portugal. And let me state for the record, if you get a chance to go to Portugal, go. Amazing. One of my favorite cities that I've ever been to, Lisbon, and then like Porto and Lagos. Portugal, just in general, sneaky underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few places in Europe that I've been that actually feels like still Europe. It's not Disneyland.
Gotcha.
Like, there's just, you go to Barcelona now, you go to Rome, you go to Greece. It's just, you're not amongst any locals. It's just you and a million other tourists.
Right.
And Lisbon is one of the few capital cities that you can go to and still feel like you're in a real working city as opposed to just a tourist trap.
Gotcha.
So Lisbon was really cool. And then the Lagos, the coastal town, like 3 hours south. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, want to go back. Definitely one of those places, spent a week and easily could have done two, and just amazing. Great people, easy to get around, amazing food, amazing wine, just absolutely great time.
So I'm curious, you are a renowned world traveler. Been to lots of places around this globe.
I've been very fortunate to do that, yes.
But I'm curious how many of the places that you go, how often sometimes do you know the language of said nation that you are visiting?
Almost never.
Okay.
I speak very broken, because a lot of what I've done, like I go to Mexico a lot. I speak broken tourist Spanish.
Right.
Where I can ask where something's at. I know how to order.
Yeah. ¿Dónde está the bathroom?
And other than that, no, I do not. And I'm also not a resort person.
Gotcha.
I stay Airbnbs. I stay in the middle of cities or in the middle of the like,
outskirts.
Get out
amongst the people.
I get out amongst the people. I do not believe. I'm just not a guy. I've never understood the people. And bless you, if this is your beat, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood the idea of getting on an airplane, flying halfway around the world, and then go sitting at a Ritz-Carlton or some nice hotel or an all-exclusive, never leaving it, and only going to like a restaurant or a tourist destination and back.
Right.
I've never understood that. Like you can go sit on a beach anywhere.
Yeah.
So to me, if I'm going to another country, I want to see what it's like to live and be in that country.
Right.
And language barriers, you can get around them.
Right. Yeah. Because most places somebody there is going to speak some English and what have you. But like in high school, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school.
Yeah.
Went back to college. I took the first 2 years again as kind of a refresher. And then I worked in restaurants for 13 years.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of Spanish, you know, language in me. And I've been to Mexico a handful of times, twice, like with my church youth group to go build houses.
Sure.
Twice in college for spring break. Twice with my parents when I was a kid. My wife and I, our honeymoon was in Mazatlan. So I've been to Mexico probably 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
Right. But that, in terms of a land with a foreign language, that is my extent. And I've never been outside anywhere of North America.
Yeah.
So
I think that is, and obviously with AI now and with Google and all that stuff, the language barrier is becoming less and less.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your phone works anywhere around the world.
And you can literally have it translate something for you in real time.
And
basically,
honestly, most of the places I've been, you don't need it.
Right.
You'd be shocked at how many people. Portugal might be, by the way, might be the number one place I've been that had the most English spoken.
Gotcha.
Honestly, like the number of times someone didn't speak solid enough English, because I speak very little. I mean, very little Portuguese.
Yeah.
All my jiu-jitsu professors are Brazilian. So all the Portuguese I know comes from them.
Yeah. So it's a lot of curse words.
Yeah. It's curse words. And like, I don't know, unless it's, you want to talk to me about strangling someone, my Portuguese is beyond limited.
Well, and when it comes down to some of those, the romance languages, you know,
it's the same.
Portuguese and Italian they're somewhat close to Spanish. So you could kind of feel your way around.
Yeah. There's
French
a handful
a
of times.
Off more.
If you understand Spanish, you can understand a lot of Portuguese, but you don't need it. Like I was shocked at that. Even when we were kind of way off the beaten path in little mom and pop stuff, when we were 4 hours outside of Lisbon, you're like, all right, this is where the English stops. No, it really was. There is a lot of people that speak English. And even when you don't, we went to this one little, there was this restaurant and you walk in and these are my favorites. When you walk into a restaurant, you're like, oh yeah, no one speaks here.
I have a feeling those shopkeepers too, they see you walk in and they're like, this dude doesn't know an ounce of Portuguese.
Well, we walk into this place and you got me. So you got big tattooed white guy. You got small Japanese lady with him. And there's like maybe 6 seats in this whole place and they're little like wooden milking stools.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know if this place had like one light bulb. Like that was like the light fixture. And like there's like 4 locals in there and they're just looking at us like, what the hell are you doing?
Are you guys in the right place?
Right. And we go in and the lady and the guy that were running it, they're like 1,000 years old. And all the cooking is being done on this just big charcoal pit. And
so, you know, it's good.
Yeah. And so we sit down and all we got was chicken, fish. And we were like, huh? And the guy's like, he just looks at me. He's like, chicken, fish. That's all he spoke. And we were like, huh? And so he walks us over to the pit and it was
please.
It was this whole fish that was just sliced in half. And then like a whole bird. And that was the menu.
Hey.
It was like chicken, fish. And then you had like 2 kinds of beer and like some water. Like that was that was what was spoken. It was like chicken, fish. And like that's the beauty of those places is that, you know, you won't get that staying at a hotel.
No, you are not wrong. Remember, one of the first times I went, it was with my parents. I think that was eighth grade, and they took us to Mazatlan.
Yeah.
Right. But one of the days we did kind of a foray up into more of the mountainous areas.
Yes.
And so we all piled into a truck and did like a 2-hour trip to, I don't think it was Oaxaca, but it was someplace with the name that at that point.
Oaxaca's fantastic, by the way.
Yeah. Someplace at that point, I couldn't remember the name, but it was small and it was not a touristy spot. And it was up in the mountains in this open air restaurant. And I remember my little 13-year-old self being like, what are we doing here?
I get it, because my gal went with some of her friends for the first part of the trip, and then I met them. And they are of the hotel car service to a nice restaurant.
Glamping.
And back. And yes. I was like, really? And they're like, well, it's easy for you to say. Like you just wander the streets. And I'm like, yeah, I get a little bit of that. But if you can, when you travel, first off, I get it. Not everyone can do it, and I totally understand that.
Right.
But you can certainly travel on a budget. I do all the time. Mm-hmm. I am not out there living the high life when I travel. But I encourage you, if you've got a passport and you can afford it and you can make time to do it, it really is how I like spending my disposable income.
Yeah.
I decided a long time ago after my wife passed away, this was 10 years ago, I was like, I am not going to let that be the defining moment of my kid's life. Mm-hmm. I said, we are going to go and do some things where your childhood is not going to be nothing but sadness.
Still got plenty of living to do.
And I picked him up and I started hauling him around. And I did that by literally looking at where I could find the cheapest airfare, where I could find the cheapest Airbnbs. And most of that ended up being in kind of real world neighborhoods and Airbnbs. And I started hauling my kids everywhere. And you're like, we're not going to be scared of this. You're going to learn that when you travel, everyone's the same. We're all looking for the same things. And for the most part, if you mind your P's and Q's, you try to fit in a little bit, avoid the bad spot, listen to locals. You'll have an amazing experience.
And just don't be a Richard.
Yeah. And I've been doing that for, you know, for 15 years, and it has never let me down. And I just would encourage you, if you get the chance, get out there, mix it up a little bit, see some people, leave your resort, go eat at a place where the only English they speak is chicken or fish. Order the fish, order the octopus, right? You know, go find the wine bar at midnight that's still open that has four seats in it.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi, no Coke.
Sit down and talk to that guy and you will have a great, great time.
Absolutely.
But so coming back, so I thought today, this is how me and Russ ended up here. I didn't think I was supposed to be working today. One, I caught a little bit of a head cold.
You're not the only one that thought you weren't supposed to be working today.
No, we'll peel back
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, we'll peel back the curtain a little bit, how we ended up here. So I came back with a little bit of the sniffles. One of the things, if you do get out and mix it up a little bit when you travel, a lot of times you do come back with
it. We got all the wipes in there, right? The appropriate wipes for those counter surfaces.
Come back with a touch of consumption, right? So I came back a little stuffy. And we didn't have a show today. So, like, Rob was, you know, when I was leaving, Rob was like, I said, I'll see you in a week. He goes, no show on Monday. I was like, oh, that's cool. See you on Tuesday. I was even telling the missus.
Yeah.
I was telling the BTJ, hey, I don't have to work today. She's like, you son of a gun. You never work. Because the Seahawks, we have the Seahawks Monday Night Football tonight.
Yes.
And the Seahawks always preempt us. So whenever they play Monday night or Thursday night football, we don't have a show, right? Pre-game and away we go. So Schultzy, Jordan Schultz, who's been sitting in there filling in for Ryan Buckley while Buckley has left us to go do Big Wig TV with Adam Bjornsson. Schultzy texts and says, hey guys, I'm so sorry, but I screwed up. I'm in Seattle today for the, I'm up at Monday Night Football and go watch party for the Mariners. I'm in Seattle. I can't do the half show. And I see this text message, it's like 7 a.m. I'm looking down this thing and I'm like, what? And then Rob responds with, news to me, we have a show? And I'm looking at this, I'm like, wait, we have a show? And Rob goes, I'm in San Diego. So now I'm sitting there, now I'm texting Dusty. And I'm like, hey, are we all right? Because my fill-in producer is in Seattle. My co-host is in San Diego. And I've got the sniffles, but at least I'm here. I'm like, I'm back. And everyone's like, yeah. Well, what happened was because they staggered the Monday night games.
Yep.
Right? So normally when there's Monday night football, you know, the kick is somewhere around, what, 5:30?
It is typically a safe assumption. Typically.
Yes.
Typically.
Well, now, because there's the staggered Monday night games, the Seahawks game doesn't start until 7. Which means the pregame starts at 5.
Yes.
Which means we are on from 3 until 5.
As the old Fonzarelli would say, exactamundo. So yeah, I too got the text at 7:12 this morning. Yo, man. Any chance you'd be able to cover the 2 hours of primetime today until 5? I already made plans to drive my wife to Seattle and come back in the morning since I thought Monday Night Football preempted the show. So
we've got no Schultzy, we've got no Rop, but damn it, we've got a Rust and we've got a Sicanic. We got a nice show for you today.
Oh, if you want to get even funnier.
Yeah.
So today, Swag, not in today, because he's still on his dude's Palm Spring trip.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like en route back today.
Yeah.
So the FNG, Casey, was in this morning on the Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah.
I got an email partway into the old firm of Harris and Meringue from the FNG, Casey, saying, hey, here's these hours cut up for Dirt and Sprague. Can you post these for the podcast?
So basically at this point, we're working. Like, Russ, you're doing yeoman's work in there.
So at this point, basically, all 4 day part shows.
We
at some point.
Like, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Rusty, we love you. We couldn't do it without you. And we're glad you're filling in for all the 4 day parts. And we're here for 2 hours, a little turn and burn edition. So we do some stock watch. We'll do in the news. We'll turn it over to Monday Night Football at 5 o'clock. Oh, and by the way, there's something else going on around 5 o'clock that maybe if you've been living in the Pacific Northwest, you might want to pay attention to.
Well, yeah, we just talked about it. The Seahawks are playing, right?
Clearly. Best thing in sports. We got some Blazer news, college football, NFL, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria, turn and burn edition of Rust and Sicanic Primetime right here on 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music. While you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Welcome in. 2-hour edition of Primetime. Me and Jeff Rust taking you into a little Seattle Seahawks. They got a doubleheader tonight. We got Bucks Lions, which is kind of the, I would say the main course, and then maybe give you some dessert. We got Seahawks and Texans. Look, the Houston Texans stink, but they play nasty defense. So this has a chance to be a bit of a rock fight tonight up there in Seattle. But if you are a Seattle fan, I'm not certain that you're paying any attention to Monday night. I mean, the Seahawks are having a nice year, and this is a playoff team. But yeah, you got bigger fish to fry right around 5 o'clock tonight. If you're tuning into Monday Night Football, I mean, obviously football is king, and that is weird. Think about this. We have the best thing going in sports tonight, and that is a game seven. We got Mariners, Blue Jays. Blue Jays haven't been to the World Series since Joe Carter in the 90s. The Mariners have never been to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And realize that these two Monday night games tonight are about to stomp a ratings mud hole in what is one of the best moments in sports.
But do we... Do we really think so?
Oh, they'll double it.
You think so?
They'll double it. All right. When the Yankees and Red Sox were playing in the when they were playing in the wild card, those two deciding games that they went to, I think peaked. I want to say they peaked at about 9 million. It's like 9 and some change, and mm-hmm. I think they averaged 7.5,
gotcha.
Which was the biggest wild card rating for a Major League Baseball game in like 10 years. It was a monster number.
Yeah,
I mean Yankees Red Sox deciding game, everything you could want,
and that's Yankees Red Sox,
and that's Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah.
And they were going head-to-head with a Thursday night football game. And I don't remember what the Thursday night football game, but it was not enormous, right? Thursday night football this year has not been, like, a huge deal. And that's on Amazon Prime, right? If you don't have Amazon Prime, you're not watching that.
Right.
So that is by far the hardest place to watch any of the football games.
Yeah, because at least even on Peacock, you most likely got NBC.
Yeah, and these tonight, you know, if you have ESPN, you know, you have Monday Night Football. And I think Thursday Night Football, I want to say this year, it's averaging 19.5 or 20. And that's averaging.
Yeah.
So Monday Night Football tonight, yes. It's weird to say. Maybe not in Seattle, and it's certainly not in Toronto. I mean, obviously, the local number in Seattle is going to be a monster number. But from a national standpoint, I'm guessing that, you know, it's the championship series. Obviously, more people than the wild card. But it's also Blue Jays and Mariners. I would hope that this beats Yankees Red Sox in the wild card. I'm not certain that it does.
Right.
But this is just off the top of my – I may be speaking out of my arse. But my guess is you're going to be somewhere in that 7 to 10 million people watching, and Monday Night Football tonight, especially Bucks and Lions, which is a big game, I'm guessing that number is going to be 20 plus.
Well, and so I wonder too, how much of the TV numbers will be able to be roped in due to the Canadian populace and what they're watching. You know what I mean? Because that's not, I'm speaking out of turn here, but I don't believe that's part of our Nielsen ratings in this country in terms of what is being watched here. Even when it comes to the Canadian numbers and what the Canadian baseball fans want to watch, you still might have, you got your Vancouverites that are watching basically either way, pretty much, whether they're rooting for Seattle or Toronto.
So I looked at here. So the championship series combined between Canada and the U.S., there you go, roping in your Canadians. So they said they're averaging about 10 million.
Okay.
Which is good considering that you're getting an entire country of Canada and you're getting the U.S.
Yep.
So that's, by the way, so that's, you're getting about 4.7 million of that coming from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So in the U.S., you're getting, what did I say, about 6 or 7 million?
Yep.
So that sounds about right. So you're getting... You're getting 6 million and then you're getting 4 and some change. And so I'm assuming from this being a game 7 that number is going to be closer, I would hope, to 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But consider the fact that Monday Night Football is still averaging over 17 million. Chiefs-Jags, by the way, week 5, Monday night, 23. So this is the world we're living in. I love the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think we have two good Monday night games tonight. Make no mistake about it. I will be watching Mariners Blue Jays.
Oh, my main screen will be on the ALCS.
But,
yes.
But this is just the world that we live in now.
And I'm not even a big baseball man.
No.
I've made that point a lot on the firm and stuff. I'm not the hugest baseball guy throughout this postseason. I have watched more baseball this postseason than I did the entire regular season combined.
Yeah. I mean, I love baseball. So this would get my attention. I'm not certain that anything would get me to turn unless it's a blowout, mm-hmm. I'm not sure anything would get me to turn away from Blue Jays Mariners. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this the fact that the Mariners are in it, again, I'm not a big Mariner guy,
right.
but I do try to support local teams. And and I go up to Mariner games every year. And you know, the Mariners are a great story.
Yeah.
Right? You want to talk about a long-suffering franchise, like when the Cubs were trying to break through or the Red Sox. I like stories in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this one is a, you know, I live in the state of Washington. This is a local story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm full go for the Mariners. But this would be the same if you had Texas playing Toronto. If you had anyone. When you give me a Game 7 in sports, to me, there's nothing better. But the fact of the matter is, the world we live in right now in the United States, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that touches the NFL. I mean, this is a meaningless Monday night football game, and it will trounce. It will double.
Two meaningless Monday night football games.
And it will trounce.
Not entirely meaningless.
It will absolutely trounce the best thing that Major League Baseball has going. And it wouldn't matter if this was the Yankees. It wouldn't matter if this was the Red Sox. It just wouldn't.
Right.
There is nothing right now that touches the NFL. The only thing that can come close is the world of college football.
Right. Exactly.
And so football is king and everything else.
It'd be like if he had Georgia Bama playing tonight.
Yeah. But still, baseball is great. And the fact that this series has been so bananas. Like, if you're a Mariner fan, I feel for you. I call this is a floor game. Sometimes when you're watching a game and it becomes so intense, you need to go to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that I was like, I don't have many of those. There's not many teams that I truly like.
Yeah.
So I have like the Mets and the Red Wings are only the two teams that I really like have a vested interest in.
Yeah.
And the Red Wings haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years. But back in the day when the Wings were playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, I would have one of those where I'm on my couch and I would always hug a pillow. You got to have a nice gut pillow.
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes
I need comfort.
Yeah, and sometimes the couch wasn't good enough and pacing the room kind of felt like a little psychotic. So you end up on the floor.
The floor, sitting there, the crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, maybe down to some knees or whatever in case you want to throw one up to Tom Cruise or Buddha or God, whoever you want to pray to.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, I call those floor games, and I can only imagine.
I got a chubby right now.
I can only imagine what Mariner fan is going through. Never having been.
Yeah.
Haven't been. I mean, it's been 20 years since you've even sniffed anything like this.
The Seattle fact Mariners have never played in a Game 7.
No.
Period.
And you're a game away. And you go to Toronto up 2-0. You know, you come back and you're feeling a little cocky sniff.
Oh, you're feeling great. And you Blue Jays, I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly.
And the Blue Jays beat you into submission. And you're like, oh, my God. And then you're down 2-1 going into, the 7th or 8th in Game 5. You find a way to come back and take that. And you're like, God, we're one away. And then they bludgeon you again in Game 6. And now here we are in Game 7. Everyone available. We got Kirby versus Bieber, which was the matchup in Game 3 when Kirby was shelled for 8 runs. I mean, this is all, I
it's
love
all
this.
Great.
This is all hands on deck. Anyone that's available to pitch will pitch tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby is going to have the shortest leash known to man. You could see Castillo come out. You could see Wu come out. Munoz is going to pitch two and a half innings if necessary.
Yeah.
I love this sort. If you aren't a baseball fan, tune into this because every pitch will just be pins and needles. That crowd up at the Rogers Center is going to be electric.
Yep.
This is everything you could want out of sports.
You just go, you empty the entire chamber. No bullets left. No bullets left.
And if you're an anti-Seattle fan, if you're one of those Portland people that hate Seattle, realize that you could see the Kraken lose, the Seahawks lose, and the Mariners lose all in one night. The rare trifecta, the golden sombrero, if you will.
Yeah.
I guess the golden sombrero would be, I guess, if the Sounders were playing, but I don't think they're playing.
Is that
It's the big three.
Yeah,
it's the big three right now.
Yeah,
because the Kraken play the Flyers.
Yeah.
And then we got Monday night, Texans, Hawks, which I don't think they'll lose because, again, the Texans can't score. But, again, that's going to be a low-scoring affair. And then we got the big feast.
And the Seahawks are only 3-point favorites.
Yeah.
So which means if it were on a neutral field, it would be a pick 'em.
Oh, make no mistake about it. The Seahawks aren't going to score a lot of points either. This thing has got, whatever the under is, take the under. This thing smells like 17-14. And this smells like a stupid Texans turnover or like a muffed punt.
41.5.
Yeah, I'll take the under. I'll take the under on that. So anyway, you know where I'll be on that. I can't wait for this. So I'll fight traffic when I get home. Hopefully get home by like the 3rd, 4th inning. Maybe grab a pie, maybe some Chinese food or whatever. Sit my ass down. And look, I'll keep Monday Night Football on.
What kind of pie?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. Oh, I'm thinking maybe.
Are you like a fruit pie? Are you a lemon meringue or a key lime? Are you a chocolate pie?
Oh, that's a pizza. That's pizza.
Oh, okay. I got you.
That's pizza. You can't watch sports and eat pie. Well, that's... I suppose you could.
Who are you looking at over here? I mean, come on. I'm over here. I'm built like an apple on a stick, man. There's plenty of food going in this belly.
The idea of sitting down to watch a big game, like eating like a big pecan pie, I don't know.
Look, I don't know what goes on in your house. I've never been invited.
Well, we're going to have to change that. I do have a photo of Jeff Rust up in my office, the timeless art of seduction. I did say years ago, I said, just looking at Rusty makes me smile.
Did you make it home with it?
Yes.
Because we noticed one time it was just not in the studio one day anymore.
Well, I didn't
know.
We're
like, okay, I guess we'll hope that that suit took it.
I didn't know it was for me. Yeah. I thought you guys
were... Who the hell else would it be for?
I thought you guys were just doing a bit. It was in here for like 3 weeks and someone was like...
I know, because you didn't take it home.
I didn't know it was for me. There was no like two souk or anything. So now, yes, if you come over to my house, there is a photo of one Jeff Rust in the timeless art of seduction up. Yes. And every time I see it, puts a little smile on my face. We got some NBA news. I mean, we were talking NFL. We'll talk some college football. We talk Major League Baseball. And believe it or not, even though I'm not ready for it, I have a hard time believing that the NBA is here. We will slide in some local NBA news coming up next. Here, though, Rust with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Welcome in. Primetime here, taking you up to the Seahawks game tonight, 5 o'clock. She got a doubleheader. Bucks-Lions is pretty tasty. I got to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks-Texans is more of a watch with my, kind of hand covering my eyes, because that's going to be an ugly game, but The Lions, up until last week when they got drilled by the Chiefs, a lot of people thought the Lions were the best team in football, and I'm a sucker for the Buccaneers.
I'm riding Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's great. So, you know, this is in Detroit. They got the black unis on with the blue helmets. It's a good look.
That is a good look. That is sharp.
I'm on board with Lions Bucks, and then you got Seahawks Texans. I'll watch. But hopefully we get a good one tonight with the Mariners and the Blue Jays. And then the winner probably gets crushed by the Dodgers, who right now can't seem to be stopped. And I didn't get to talk about it because I was gone.
As much as Swag likes to bitch about their bullpen.
Yo, well, that's the thing. Dodger fan, get bent. Dodger fan bitching. Look, coming from someone who spends as much money on their team as the Dodgers do, trust me, if you want to bitch about spending money, go talk about the Mets and their bullpen. That's the thing. The Dodgers are so good, it doesn't matter. They have so many pitchers. They don't have a bullpen, so they're just taking starters and like, here, you go throw in the bullpen.
And they spend money wisely.
And it just doesn't matter because they just mash the hell out of everyone. Think about who they have just bludgeoned in this postseason. We all talked about that the best teams in Major League Baseball were in the NL, right? And that was going to be the tougher challenge, and the Dodgers kind of him and haw their way through the Major League regular season, and they get to the postseason, and all they've done is absolutely demolish people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just kick the living hell out of the Phillies, demolish the Brewers. Oh, and then, by the way, just in the closing clinching game, oh, here's Shohei Ohtani doing something we've never seen before. He goes six innings, gives up one hit, 10 strikeouts. Oh, and by the way, he hits three effing home runs. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Best individual baseball performance ever?
Yes, because no one's ever done it.
Because no. It's incomparable.
No, like that. No other sport sets up for you to do this, right? Like,
yeah.
No, the no
It'd
one's
be
going,
like if Travis Hunter came out and caught nine catches,
yeah,
for 182 yards and three touchdowns, and then yes, and then have three picks.
No, it just doesn't happen. There's not another sport that sets it up this way, and we've never seen anyone do this. But to go six innings, not give up a run, strike out 10. And then go and just and mash, absolutely mash. We've never seen anything like it. There's a reason why that dude's getting ready to win four MVPs.
I saw one guy today. He said, he couldn't go hit four home runs?
He is. I remember there was last year at some point, someone on the text line was like, dude, get over Ohtani. Pretty soon everyone's going to be doing this. And I was like, dude, of all the dumb takes that have come in, that may be the dumbest. And if you're still listening, by the way, I love you. I really do. But yes, that is such a dumb take. The idea that anyone is going to be doing this. Are there going to be people that attempt this? Yes. But look at how many pitchers, by the way, are getting rocked in the postseason. How many guys are struggling at the plate, and to go out in a clinching game,
mm-hmm,
and put on that pitching performance and then go to the plate and hit three of those, yeah, after being in a slump? I'm sorry. There's nothing like him. Well, there's like, never been anything like him, and maybe there won't be for another generation.
It's like, you remember when Rick Ankiel was a big deal?
Yeah.
Because he was a former pitcher that, you know, he couldn't pitch anymore, so he went to the outfield and he could rake. But he never, no. That we're not even close, but this was like the closest thing recently.
This is just otherworldly stuff. So yeah, maybe it's a moot point that whoever wins tonight is going to face the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are going to be the first team in a quarter century since the Yankees to go back to back. And then we can all like go on and hate the Dodgers. The one thing about the Dodgers is, as much as I want to hate them, Shohei Ohtani makes it harder for me to hate,
yes,
the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I just, one, if I hate on Shohei Ohtani, my my missus, the BTJ, will stab me in the eye with a rusty fork.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, find someone that looks at you the way the Japanese people look at Shohei Ohtani. Or, by the way, the Portuguese look at Ronaldo. When I was over in Portugal, we got actually to go see Portugal played Hungary in a World Cup qualifier. And, oh my God. So it's like 70,000 people go to that soccer stadium. And we were taking the subway out there. And I noticed something, and I was like, I mean, so imagine 70,000 people all kind of going into one area, and you can't really drive into it, so everyone's either walking or taking the subway. So it's just packed, like wall-to-wall people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got little Portuguese people underneath each one of my armpits. It's freaking nuts. And everyone's wearing, obviously, Portugal soccer gear.
Yeah.
And so we get there about an hour early, and I realized something. I turned to my lady next to me, and I said, have you seen one person wearing a jersey other than Ronaldo? And she was like, what? And I said, look around. She goes, yeah, it's all Ronaldo. I go, have you seen a jersey with one other player? And she's like, no. And the people behind me started laughing, and they were from England. They're like, they were wearing Ronaldo jerseys. And they're like, yeah, we came here for this. And they're like, we said the same thing. not one other player. Like when you go to Dodger Stadium, because I was at Dodger Stadium a few months back, and you obviously see more Otani jerseys than anything else.
Of course.
Like there's Otani jerseys everywhere. Yeah. You see some Freddie Freeman, you see some Mookie Betts, you see some Clayton Kershaw, you see some Fernando. Like there's other Dodger jerseys. I'm telling you, not one single other jersey other than Ronaldo. It took us going into the stadium. So we had been there for like an hour and a half before we finally saw, I think their goalie is like Diego something or other.
Sure.
We saw a number one jersey and we all got excited. We were like, look, another one. So I kept count that entire game that I was there. I saw four people wearing a Portugal jersey that did not have Ronaldo on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Austin, when you go there, get ready to see a lot of Ronaldo's bulge. Because he's in a lot of underwear ads, and he's shirtless, and just undies, and I don't know if he's stuffing socks or if he's just like that, but just everywhere you go, there's just a lot of Ronaldo package.
Yeah, it's a baby's arm holding an apple.
Well, it's a little unnerving. Like I walked into like the team store thinking, you know. By the way, I walked in thinking I was going to try to buy something that didn't have Ronaldo on it. I was like, no, I'm going to buy one of the others. No, they weren't for sale.
No.
They had like two other players that had anything for sale. And by the way, both of those jerseys went to a large.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to buy something, anything above a large, it was either a blank jersey or Ronaldo on it.
Yeah, you silly large white men.
But you know what was on the big screen? So they had like this big giant television there in the team store. You know what was being played? Ronaldo in his underwear. It was just him juggling a ball with his glistening abs and just in his underwear. And like he's got his own brand of underwear, and it's for sale everywhere, and every ad is just you walking in and seeing glistening abs and a giant bulge.
I'm just glad he was juggling a ball.
He was juggling a ball. But he is, and I had this debate with the BTJ, with the Big Time Japanese, whose country worships them more? Is it Shohei Ohtani and the Japanese, or is it the Portuguese and Ronaldo? Because at least in Japan,
I was going to go with a population thing, but then I started to conflate Japan with China, and Japan does not have the same population that China
does. Well, Japan certainly has more people than Portugal. Yes, it's not even close.
But, yeah.
But I'm talking about devotion, because at least in Japan, you've got like, because Ichiro came.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was like another, I think Ronaldo might be their god. It's possible. It's possible that he is their lord and deity. I was like waiting to see if anyone would say something bad about him or that he was kind of old or what. No. Dude, that guy is the equivalent of like, if like baby Jesus.
Yeah. Football Jesus.
Yeah, he is. Like if, I'm trying to think like if baby Jesus had a child with, I don't know, like baby Jesus and... Trying to think who's the best looking, like Brad Pitt had a kid. It would be.
I was going to say like Shakira, but she's Argentinian,
yeah,
so that
it's
doesn't
just
work.
So that level of worship, it's kind of crazy.
Jesus and, with a BBL.
And yeah, you get caught up into it. He scored, he's like 40, 41, and he doesn't play like the entire game. And he kind of didn't do a whole lot, but he scored two goals while we were there. He scored the first two goals. That stadium, it went freaking nuts.
Yeah.
He has his own song. He has his own cheer. I was like, I kind of came away. I was like, well, I guess I'm a Ronaldo fan now. Like you go there and you're like, yeah, well, I got to buy some Ronaldo underwear and a jersey with 7 on the back. And I got to get myself some glistening abs now.
It's like my younger daughter, she just turned 9 last week. And somehow, I'm not quite sure why, but she is a huge Leo Messi fan.
Yeah.
So, like, we got her, there's a Messi t-shirt. We got, like, the pink, like, Messi jersey, some Messi socks. She lost her S, man. She could not believe it. She's like, oh, my God, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Like, where does this Messi love come from?
I like, that's the whole, that's the argument, right? Ronaldo, Messi. Like when we were on, we took a little boat tour and they were making fun of Messi for being so short. Like it's just, there is no, when you go to that place, I'm afraid like if you walked into any restaurant there and you said something bad about Ronaldo, I think you'd get stabbed.
Yeah.
Like that's like the nicest people in the world, but don't say anything bad about Ronaldo or don't you dare claim that that underwear is stuffed. Like you would think if you walked in, if we walked in as an American and you saw like Patrick Mahomes, and he was in an Adidas ad and he was shirtless just in the pair of tightest like briefs you could have and his bulge was out. We'd all make fun of him, right? We'd all be like, dude, this is the most ludicrous thing. Dude, in Portugal, they walk in and see that, and they're like, well, I got to buy some underwear now. Like, it's, they're just an entire country. It kind of made me a little jealous. Like, we don't have that. Like, yeah. We can't have anything in our country that we universally support. It doesn't exist.
If I buy that underwear, will it make my package look that much bigger, too?
I'm not going to lie. I thought about it. I thought about buying some, but boy, it's expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I was like, hey, maybe I need to buy a 3-pack of that. And I looked at the price and I was like, you know, I don't need underwear that bad. Yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Hanes outlet store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some 32-degree cool. Like, I don't know, like $8 for a 3-pack. All right, we didn't get to the NBA news. When we come back, though, I promise, some local NBA news. We will not get derailed by the bulge of one Ronaldo. Primetime, right here on 105.1 The Fan. Told you to squeeze a little basketball. Basketball season is right around the corner, by the way, and I am fully not prepared. I'm not going to lie, this is like a weird time of the year for me. Like, I'm a big hockey guy. By the way, Red Wings, 5-1, boom, off to their best start in 10 years. Haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. But even as a big hockey guy, it's just, there's too much going on, right? I got the World Series. I'm in the midst of the NFL. I got college football, and now here comes the NBA. It's too much. I've only got so much room, so
It's a lot.
I don't start paying attention to the NBA until like Christmas. Rob doesn't pay attention until like March, but I'll keep an eye. I don't pay attention, but I'll keep an eye. Mm-hmm. But I did see this, you know, obviously a little bit of the local flavor here, and that the Blazers locked up two of their corner pieces for the next 4 years. Shaedon Sharpe and Kamara both got extensions today. 4 years, 82 and a half for Toumani, and then 4 years, $90 million for Shaedon Sharpe. And this shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, both of these guys were going to get extensions. I don't think in today's world, no one wants to go into restricted free agency. Mm-hmm. It's just under the new salary cap. There's just not as many suitors that are out there. And, you know, Kamara, his max, I think, was $87 million that he could have signed, and he did 82 and a half.
He took a little bit of a discount.
A million, you know, a million and some change per year as a discount. Maybe that surprised me a little bit. I think Shaedon Sharpe, obviously, it sounds like his agent was trying to throw out that 1 to 110. Mm-hmm. He wasn't getting that elsewhere. I mean, I guess you could go into to play this year and hope for the best.
Right.
But again, how many suitors are going to be out there? And by the way, at 20, whatever, is he 22, 23 years old?
He's 22.
He's 22, and he just got $90 million guaranteed dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I get, and by the way, in 4 years, when you're 26, you can go and sign another massive contract extension.
Right in your prime.
So,
right in your prime.
I mean, dare I say, both of these deals, like the Kamara deal is almost a max for him, and the Sharpe deal, these are both good deals for the Blazers. I think you have an idea of what Kamara is for you. Whether or not he ends up becoming anything more than what he is now, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the question mark. But what he is now is an all-NBA defender, and he's a guy
which
that—
you have not had.
No.
In, I think, the last
all-NBA—
Exactly. Theo Ratliff.
So you have—
That was a long time ago, my friend.
You have a long-rangey, switchable defender who plays his ass off and seems to be getting better from an offensive standpoint. Now, mm-hmm. will he ever be a 20-point a night guy? Probably not. But I suppose
if he does, you'll take it.
Yeah, there's room to develop there. But if all he does is give you what he did last year at that rate for what the NBA has handed out money in the past, that is a nice deal for Portland.
Yeah.
And for Shaedon Sharpe, I mean, this is essentially what you gave Anfernee Simons. And Anfernee Simons turned out to be kind of be a one-dimensional player that mm-hmm. scored 20 a night and actually didn't do anything for you. And that's fine. You moved on from him. He's
and
in Boston now.
Town.
And this is Sharpe. You're doing the same thing. He's 22 years old. And I think with Shaedon Sharpe, this is going to boil down to at $22.5 million a year, which is, again, that's a generational money payday for him.
Absolutely.
Does Shaedon Sharpe at 22 become the sort of guy that says, I've gotten paid, and now I want to become one of the best players in the NBA? Or is he the guy that says, I just got $90 million, and in 4 years, I'll get another $90 million mm-hmm. by being the exact same player that I am? And unfortunately, for most of the NBA,
that's a valid question.
It's the latter.
Yeah.
Most of the time you talk about the uber athletic guys with maybe a bit of an effort problem that don't play defense and really don't do anything other than fill up the points sheet. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys don't turn into beasts. They don't become great two-way players.
Right.
Not saying that Sharpe won't, not saying that he can't, but that's the guy's hyper athletic. He has every tool in the book. He got benched last year for not playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
All the potential in the world, and at 22 years old, you just gave him money where, in theory, he never has to do anything again for the rest of his life. Is he the sort of guy that lights a fire under his ass, or is he a guy now that gets to say, I've made it, and
Thanks for coming.
Well, and one of the biggest comps, at least on with Danny and Patrick, is that does he become now like an Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah,
where he gets the bucket, and then he's like, okay, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah.
But here's what I will say is that it seems that because, like you said, last year he got sat down because he was not putting in the effort on the defensive end.
Yeah,
and it seems like at least this far this season, and you know, through four preseason games and training camp and whatnot, in my mind, it doesn't matter if he is currently turning into like a defensive presence. What we want to see is the effort, and not just have him be, not just have him go, ole.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, Steph Curry is not a great defender, but Curry plays hard on the defensive side of the ball, and you can hide him some things, and I'm with you. Very few players, especially ones that are being asked to carry the offensive load, are going to be dominant defensive players. But what you want to see is, like you said, you want to see effort, and when he has to, when the game requires and he doesn't have the shot going and he's having an off night, can he make an impact elsewhere? And that's where Anthony Simons never could. And Anthony Simons is a fine player. He'll make his $90 million and he'll score his 18.
By the way, for him, it's 100.
100. He'll score his 18 to 20 a night, and that'll be Anthony Simons.
But you want to see the give a F's.
Yes. And no one knows. But either way, I think if you're the Blazers today, these were both smart deals. They're not big money contracts.
Nope.
And even if neither guy takes big leaps forward, these are not going to be deals that hamstring you. So I think this was a good day for Portland. And you kind of get this out of the way, and now you get to see where this goes forward with two guys that really you need both of these guys to get ultimately where you want to be, which is more than just a play-in team.
Yeah, and so, and like with the Tumani Kamara deal, like we said, he took a few million dollar discount to stay in town.
Yep.
And his and a lot of that is because of his defense. If he can increase his points per game average by, say, maybe 3 or 4 points or whatever, what have you, this year or the next couple years, that turns it into like a tremendous deal. But as of right now, he's a great defensive player. He hits some threes, and that's a good spot for him, and it feels like a good money range. What you need from Shaden is you need to see a good probably 4 points per game jump this year, right? Because he took this 4 and 90 that he originally turned down, and we thought that he might try to do a bet on myself year.
Yeah.
But instead, he decided, I'm going to stay here. And I think that another point that got made this morning, it seems like both of these guys did it because they feel like this is a good spot for them and a place that they want to be and that they can grow and learn and continue to develop over the next now 5 years that they're locked up for.
And I give Cronin credit. They stuck to their guns. You know, Sharp wanted 100, 110. He said, no, we're going to offer you 90. We're staying at 90. And they got him at 90. I think these are both good deals. And I think this is a good, today was a good day.
And I think that other teams out there, there weren't a lot of other teams out there that had like cap space to give.
No, this was, and so they were able to hold to their guns. And I think both of these deals are, so I think you now have three of your better players inked for multiple years with Denny, Tumari, and Shaden Sharp that are all locked up on very team friendly deals.
Yes.
So I think it's a good day for the Blazers.
And a good note to point out again, to remind us of all, is that Denny Avdia's deal, it decreases every year.
Yeah.
So like you can't get more team friendly than that.
And it's not like the Blazers do anything with cap space anyways. My God. It's like they go out and get free agents.
Big free agent destination.
Yeah.
What have we ever done? Andre Miller and Brian Grant. I think those are your two biggest ones.
Good day to be a Blazer. What happens with the long term, we'll wait and see. But the NBA is here. Wake me in December. When we come back, we'll get into some college and NFL, some football stock watch in the news, and then turn you over to Monday Night Football at 5 o'clock. Yeah, primetime here on 105.1 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What do girls want anyway? Well, apparently not total losers. We're pretty good at basketball. Yeah, as long as we don't have to run or jump or dribble or nothing.
Isaac Rob.
Hey, you guys up for a little game?
Sure.
Well, let's make it interesting. Say $20.
How about 50?
You're on.
Jason Sukanik.
Dude, we don't have $50. We don't have 20.
This is Primetime on the Fan Sports Network.
What the hell's up with that? We win, and they get the chips. That sucks, dude.
105.1 and 1080.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks.
The Fan.
Nothing brings in the chicks like khakis. Maybe with some white socks, some Skechers, maybe some nice New Balance.
Just ask Jim Harbaugh.
you know, Harbaugh's knee deep in chicks. Imagine at one point that guy was an NFL quarterback and was a stud. That dude was knee deep in skush for a long time, and now you look at him.
And he was the comeback kid. That was his nickname. He was the comeback kid.
I remember meeting Jim Harbaugh down at Pac-12 Media Day.
Like, oh, that had to be something.
It's like, that must have been like 17, 18 years ago.
At Stanford.
And, dude, when I see Jim Harbaugh now, like, I just look at him. He's morphing into the dad from Up. He just, you know, he's got that no style and the top buttons all the way to the top. And he's got
eat their hater top.
Joe Paterno glasses. But, man, when we met him, when he was at Stanford, dude, that guy looked like Gavin Newsom. Like he should be like the mayor
right?
of a city or like a presidential candidate. Dude had like a stone iron jaw, was in great shape, hair all slicked back, was wearing like probably a $3,000 suit. Mm. And I look at him like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, now here's what you get.
If that happens, 6 afraid of 7. You get 7, 8, 9.
If that happens to Jim Harbaugh, what are the chances the rest of us have of like aging
Moses,
gracefully?
I'm going to die leaning on my staff.
I'm telling you, he was not like something happened. Like it was like when he got to Michigan, there's something happened. Like he moved to the Midwest and like all hell broke loose and he just morphed into like just this old curmudgeon. But Harbaugh was the guy back in the day. Lions, by the way, 7-0 up on the Buccaneers, and the Lions offense
that didn't
looks
take long.
Phenomenal. Well, and you know, the NFL has
That's just even since the end of my update.
Yeah. The NFL got put on notice the last 2 weeks. Now, to be fair, one of those games was against arguably the worst team in the NFL, and that's the Vegas Raiders. Now, the New York Jets would like a word about who's the worst team in the NFL. The Raiders are bad. I mean, the Raiders are flat out awful.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City has their full complement of weapons, and they had 30 first downs against the Raiders. The Raiders had 30 plays.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. 30 play, and look, there's a lot of bad ball being played in the NFL, and I say this about college football, I say it about the NFL. Be careful evaluating teams against crappy teams. Like, when you're an elite team, only evaluate the elite teams against other elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no offense, but like what Oregon did against Rutgers, I don't care. Yeah. You had five guys average 11 yards a carry.
Yeah.
You should. It's Rutgers.
And you came out and you did exactly what
yes.
you should have done.
Oregon is at a point where when Oregon plays Oklahoma State and they play Rutgers, they put their foot on their balls and make them believe it early on, and those aren't games.
Right. But the problem is that they didn't do it the same way people felt they should have against like Northwestern.
That game was never in doubt. But they've played two games against teams seemingly, at least from a talent standpoint, they can beat, and they're 1-1, and one was a close loss, I mean, it was a 10-point game, but it was a closest loss, and you had a close-ish win against Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what happens. And when you look at Kansas City, the last 2 weeks, Kansas City has finally gotten healthy, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, but here comes the overreaction part to it, right? So the Lions go out, and before last week, we kind of thought that the Lions were the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions stumbled early on in that week one, and since then, the Lions have looked like gangbusters. And the Chiefs stumbled out of the gate and lost 3 games, and what's wrong with Kansas City? And this is how quickly things happen and change in the NFL, and how quickly we jump to these conclusions. And that the Lions are cruising, and here they come in playing Kansas City, and it's this idea of, oh my God, if Detroit wins, where does Kansas City go from here? Well, they don't. They kind of got smacked around by the Chiefs, and the Chiefs looked really good. And now we come into the second week, and the Chiefs play a really bad Vegas team, and they absolutely embarrass them. So the last 2 weeks, 30-17, 31-0 against the Ravens, and all of a sudden now, today I wake up, and the Chiefs are unstoppable. Oh, my God, everything's back. The Chiefs are the Super Bowl. The morning show is like, I can't handle it. It's going to be Philadelphia and Kansas City again. God, 3 weeks ago, everyone was ready to write off Kansas City. And here we are after 2 wins, one a really, really good win against the Lions, and another against a god-awful team that's what you're supposed to do when you play to god-awful teams.
Yes.
And now we're ready to anoint Kansas City. No. But it does go to show you how foolish anyone was thinking that something was infinitely wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, because first off, do you want to know when you don't win a Super Bowl? Is late September and early October.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, as much as I would hate to admit it, like I actually... I hate the Raiders. Like, I hate the Raiders. But seeing Pete go there and getting Ashton Gentry and Chip going there, I was like, you know what? I might actually have to kind of somewhat quietly inside root for these guys, and they're dog water.
Yeah, it's just they're bad. And so don't pay any attention when the Kansas City Chiefs or the Detroit Lions or anyone else, when they beat the Raiders, I don't care. When you beat the Tennessee Titans, I don't care.
Sometimes it's the way you beat them.
Like the 49ers right now. The 49ers are 5-2. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are not not a real team.
No. No.
They beat the Seahawks, Saints, Cardinals. The Rams win. Somehow they managed to do that. And then they beat the Falcons. Okay, cool. But they're 5-2, and literally everyone on the planet that plays for them is hurt.
Yeah.
That's not a real contending team. But because of the schedule and they're well coached, they'll find a way to grind out wins. Mm-hmm. But see what happens when they play other elite teams. The Seahawks are like this a little bit. Seahawks are a good team. It's going to probably be a playoff team. But I don't judge you beating the Saints.
Right.
And so Kansas City right now looks really good. And they had that win over the Lions, and give them credit for that. Yeah. You made what we thought at the time one of the better teams in the NFL, and I still believe that.
Yeah.
You made them look silly, and you have your full complement of weapons back.
Exactly.
And so for this little four-game stretch that, you know, the NFL exists in four-game, you know, it's now with the 17.
Quadrants.
Yeah. But they always viewed it, whenever I was in the NFL, everyone always talked about that it's four quarters to a game, four quarters to a season.
Yes.
And never make any sort of judgment on something until you've gotten into the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even there yet.
Right.
We're not even into the second half. So what you're doing right now is you're taking teams that have a lead or fallen behind in the second quarter of a game, and see Broncos, Giants, stop doing that. So the Chiefs, now that they're healthy, the Chiefs have the ability to go out and start to prove that this Kansas City team is the best team in the AFC. And if they do that over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, then sure. But this notion that all of a sudden no one can beat Kansas City, why? Because you made the Raiders look foolish because you had a great game at home against the Lions? No. Well, I'm not doing that, but
I think though too that it's also that even through the first few weeks of the season, we had to see Kansas City go through some things, and so now they're getting Rashee Rice back, and Xavier Worthy is healthy, and so
it's the full complement of players,
exactly. And so now listen, there's still of course several weeks left, and you see all the injury attrition that can happen throughout the course of a season.
Amen.
But they're turning into it's the Denny Green almost. They are who we thought they were.
Seven games in, and you said it best, right? We've seen them without their complement of offensive players, and it looks
and they held on,
but it looks like a very average team.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? The Detroit Lions were the best team in football last year until they lost 17 defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
We're in week 7. So the fact that Kansas City is healthy now is great until Rashee Rice blows a knee.
Right.
Until Simmons, their left tackle, ends up tearing a tricep.
Yeah.
Until Chris Jones gets hurt. Like, you just, there's no way to know.
We still got 10, 11 weeks.
Right. The Eagles' passing attack is so dreadful and pitiful. At times, it's embarrassing to watch. But yesterday, against the Vikings, Jalen Hurts, after putting up basically dog-ass for two quarters, comes out in the second half of that game, looks like the second coming of Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He had a perfect passer rating, and they're throwing the ball downfield, and Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, and everything's great, and now all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, the Eagles passing attack. No! No, it's one half of football.
Yeah.
It's like we want
and to... And it's recency bias.
We have the... It's just... The NFL is the king, and I get it because there's only one game a week, and so we jump to these sort of massive conclusions. Like, if you think the Denver Broncos, like what they did scoring 33 points in the fourth quarter after getting skunked through three.
Yeah.
If you think the Denver Bronco offense is fine, I don't know what to tell you. They're not scoring 33 points in a quarter. That offense is anemic. They go through whole stretches. Now, is that a terrible team? No. But is Bo Nix elite, and is their offense good enough right now? Far from it. But we take, J.J. McCarthy did this early in the year with Minnesota. We don't even wait for a game. We'll take a half.
Yeah.
We take half of a football game, and we'll try to extrapolate it out. And we do this. And then next week, someone will come out and do the exact opposite. Like, if Kansas City comes out next week and they struggle, then we're going to be right back to, well, what's wrong with the Chiefs? My God.
They had a flash in the pan last week.
The one thing I know about the NFL right now is there is not a truly elite team in the NFL.
No, that's absolutely true.
Doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you look at the Patriots and the Bills, I'm talking about division leaders. Pittsburgh certainly isn't. The Colts are 6-1 and statistically might be the best team in football. Does anyone think that Indianapolis is truly elite? It's not the Broncos. It's not the Chargers. The Chiefs, for 2 weeks, have looked elite. For 2 weeks and one of those weeks against one of the worst teams in the NFL. Philadelphia might have the most talented roster in the NFL, but anytime Jalen Carter doesn't play, their defense looks bad. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Hurts, I don't know what the hell is going on with that in their passing game.
And still, nobody trusts Nick Sirianni. Everybody just wants to take a big old dump on Nick Sirianni every week.
I don't trust the Packers. I like Tampa Bay, but is Tampa Bay really an elite team? And then I go to the NFC West. I think the Rams are the best team in that division, but they lost to freaking Mac Jones and the 49ers and the skeleton crew. So I just think we're entering a world in the NFL where there is going to be so many. We're going to be like the Price is Right mountain climber. We're yo-lay. There's going to be ups and downs. And so just, if you're a fan of one of these teams, just settle in, because I think it's going to be one of those years where our idea of who's elite and who's not and who's a contender and who's not, I'll bet you Kansas City goes through at least two more of these this year, mm-hmm. where we have a what's wrong with the Chiefs, and then we're right back to can anyone beat Kansas City? This is just going to be the nature of the NFL, and it's going to come down to, at the end of the year, who's hot and who's healthy. That'll be what happens when we get into the postseason.
Tampa Bay, one of three teams in the NFL right now with one loss. You got the Colts, you got the Packers, and you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Colts have a point differential of plus 92. That is best in all of the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, the other team, they are at 4-1, plus 33. And then Tampa Bay, 5-1 with a plus 14. You're 5-1 with a plus 14
yeah.
point differential.
I'm telling you right
so
now.
You're not blowing anybody out.
The best team in football is the Colts. But again, I look at it. They've beaten the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Titans, the Raiders, the Cardinals, and the Chargers.
Yeah.
And the Chargers, I think I'm starting for them at left tackle because they don't have any offensive linemen left. The one team that they've played that I think is really worth anything is the Rams. And they lost. And but
they beat everybody else.
They beat everyone else. And all the numbers back it up that they look like the best team in football from a number standpoint. But I'll tell you right now, if you put them on the field with Kansas City in the playoffs tomorrow, is anyone taking the Colts over the Chiefs?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Are they capable of doing it? Absolutely.
So let's say this weekend, Indianapolis is at Kansas City at Arrowhead. What do you figure a point spread might be?
I'll bet you coming off of the last 2 weeks in Arrowhead, I bet you the Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites, maybe even 3.5 or 4.
Yeah.
And that's a 6-1 versus a 4-3 team.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as you look at the Colts, I just ultimately, the fact that it's their quarterback is who he is, and that Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes, and Kansas City looks different the last 2 weeks now that they've had their entire offense assembled. So yeah, I think right now on a neutral field, I think the Chiefs at 4-3 would be favored over the 6-1 Colts.
I think I did see also too, going into this past weekend, Kansas City, they were, I think, whatever. At one point they were third in the American or the AFC West, but still the gambling favorite to win the division.
At one point this year, people have widely considered the best team in football to be the Buffalo Bills, to be the Green Bay Packers, to be the Los Angeles Chargers, to be the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions. I think now we're back to being Kansas City is the best team in football.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of the NFL.
Yeah.
There is no dominant team that's winning 15 or 16 games this year. And I, for one, I'm here for it. I think it makes the NFL interesting. Just get ready for a lot of overreaction Mondays where from week to week, who's elite and who's not changes on a week-to-week basis. And I'm telling you, don't fall for it. If you're a team that gets written off or if you're a team that gets elevated, stay the course. It's a long, long, long NFL season. We're not even halfway through it.
Not to belabor any points, but can you remember a season in recent memory where both in the NFL and college football, you had just basically kind of no idea?
Well, this is something that I'll get into when maybe I have a little more time. I think college is becoming more and more like the NFL, where I think with the transfer portal, I think with NIL, you can't out talent everyone the way you used to. There used to be three or four teams that just were that much better from a talent standpoint than everyone else. And it's not the case anymore. And from Georgia, look, the SEC is a prime example of this. There is no one in the SEC that you look at and just say is head and shoulders better than everyone else. In the Big Ten, certainly
you have Indiana at number two in the gall darn country.
And the fact of the matter is, last year the best team in college football was a two loss team,
mm-hmm.
and that was Ohio State.
Yeah,
and people wrote them off after losing to Michigan, and they went into the postseason and just gave everyone a series of rights and lefts. I mean, they beat the hell out of teams, and the best team in football could be a team right now that lost to Florida State at the start of the year and looked like absolute mess, and here comes Alabama, right? Oregon was undefeated all of last year, and we said Oregon's the best team. They get into the postseason, and they get spanked by a team that they had already beaten.
Yep.
The best team in football right now may be the 4-3 Chiefs. Maybe.
Maybe.
And I think that's the way college football is rolling, where you're going to have a team that loses multiple games and at times doesn't look very good end up winning a national title. And much like in the NFL, where I think it's more like, it could be anyone – I think this is as open as college football has been. I don't know who the truly elite teams are in college football. I don't know who truly is the best team. And I think that's fairly new to college football, but you're right. It is. The NFL and college football are mirroring each other right now.
They're both wide open.
And I kind of like it that you can lose a game or two now in college football and it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's more about who's not the best team in September, who's the best team in December and January? That's the way it should be.
Well, it's about who both you're beating and who you're losing to.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it's not just if you drop one, then you're done.
And that's why football is king. College football and the NFL cannot be touched. All right, we come back in the news and then, Stockwatch. Then we get to in the news and then we turn it over to Monday Night Football. So, dude, we got to get going. A little turn and burn edition of Primetime right here on The Fan.
It's Primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Suk buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
Good dudes over there. If if enough's enough and, you need to know kind of what your rights are, give those guys a call. Tell Colin and company over there that the fan says hi. Good dudes. And what we're going to do is we're going to squeeze in a Stockwatch here because, again, we're off the air at 5 o'clock. So we're going to squeeze in a Stockwatch, and then we're going to do one segment of In the News. So I feel like when it's a 5 o'clock show, maybe two segments of In the News, especially when our noted newsman is not here.
That's tight.
That's tight. So we'll do one Stockwatch, we'll do one In the News, and then we'll send you on your merry way for not only Monday Night Football, but also Mariners. So let's turn and burn this Monday edition of Stockwatch.
Under center, two backs. Dante, back split. Motion man, bench into the right, pitch it back, going left. Whittington with a block up front, gets a first down and more. Down the sideline, 50, a block to the 40, other way 30. Down the sideline, speed to the 20, 10, can he go? All the way! No, Whittington!
Well, that right there, a 68-yard touchdown run from Noah Whittington in the first quarter. That's courtesy of Jerry Allen on Learfield. And, of course, as heard right here on The Fan, hey, tell me if this is good. Total yards, 750 to 202?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's pretty good.
Passing yards, 335 to 79?
Yeah, not too shabby.
Is that pretty good? Rushing yards, 415 to 123?
Yeah, I see a pattern developing here.
Yeah. Are the Ducks back?
Well, it's Rutgers.
Buy or sell.
It's Rutgers. I mean, here's my thing. I guess I'll buy it, but I never viewed that they went anywhere.
Right.
You know, we talked about this. Just
because we had our Northwestern 34-14.
Look, Rutgers is a road apple. One thing we know about Oregon is, for the most part, when Oregon plays lesser competition, they are going to boat race them. They are going to boat race Wisconsin. They're going to boat race Minnesota. I do think Iowa on the road. Iowa is the defense that held Indiana to 20 points. I think USC and Washington might be able to put up some sort of fight. But for the rest of the way, Oregon is going to be heavy favorites in every game that they're going to play. And just because you stumble a little bit against Penn State and Indiana and your offense doesn't look dynamic doesn't mean that against the Rutgers of the world that they're going to be able to do anything. It's the one thing I'll say about Oregon. They've reached the point when they play the Rutgers of the world, those are not games that I am worried about. So are they back? I don't think they went anywhere. I just think they lost to a really good Indiana team. And when you play other teams that are elite, most teams in this country are about a 50-50 coin flip. And you've played what we consider two good teams, though the Penn State game. You know, obviously Penn State unraveled after that. But at the time, you know, we thought Penn State was...
I feel like you beat them three times straight.
It's possible, right? You may have ended their season and ended James Franklin's tenure there. But, you know, again, you played two teams that from an athletic standpoint we thought were going to be competitive with you, and you've won one and you've lost one. I think that's just the nature of college football. Dusty was in here just last segment and he was talking to me. Look, the days of parity in college football are here, and I think fans are struggling to deal with it, but get used to it because this is the new era of college football. But I think Oregon is a playoff team. I think they've always going to this year they were going to be a playoff team, but I still think they may lose another game at some point this year, and it'll be okay. They'll still end up being a playoff team. So are they back? Yeah.
By the way, 42-3 at halftime, that felt like a statement.
Yes.
When you talk about GOATs, this guy's name has been mentioned a lot, and certainly on the internet because of the funds that Penn State has. Now, Coach, I don't want to hear it from you. Let's ask the boss, Miss Terry. Hey, Miss Terry, they offer $50 million a year. You guys going to coach at Happy Valley?
Look, Pat, I have no doubt if Nick wanted to go back to coaching, he could win his eighth national championship, but we're having too much fun, and we wouldn't want to take that opportunity away from all of our baby coaches like Kirby and
Ray. Yeah, you're right.
Too much fun. I haven't heard a number yet, Pat.
Okay, well, 50 is on your list, it sounds like, but there is a number, Coach. A lot of Ferraris.
There is a number.
Mrs. Always Right has spoken.
Yeah, so that there, Nick Saban's wife, Miss Terry, on College Game Day with Pat McAfee. And look, she is the boss. It doesn't sound to me like Nick Saban is going anywhere. Buy or sell, Nick Saban is your next Penn State head coach.
Nick Saban's done coaching. And by the way, he'll be 74 on Halloween. And look, Nick Saban is the best college coach of all time. But this is the Bill Belichick thing. At some point, you're 74. So he comes into Penn State 2-3 years down the road once he kind of gets his implant. Now we're talking about 77, 78 years old. Like, who is elite at 76, 77 years old? And by the way,
Bill Belichick isn't.
One of the reasons that Nick got out of football is this era of college football was not something he was interested in, right? The NIL and the parity of players. So I have no doubt that Nick Saban can still be successful. But this idea that Nick Saban walks into Happy Valley and they win a national title in a year or two, I think that, again, that's doing a disservice to the rest of college football, and it's just a little pie in the sky. That's the same people that thought Bill Belichick going in, all of a sudden it changes North Carolina. Nick Saban showing up at Happy Valley doesn't bring the Alabama team from 10 years.
Nope.
He's still going to have to go in and recruit better players, more elite players, change that culture. Get a coaching staff, and he's going to do that at 74, 75, 76, and then turn the corner in 77 and deal with all of the transfer portal nonsense that's going on and all the parody. No, Nick Saban's not going to be the next coach at Penn State, and I think Nick knows that no matter what amount of money they give him, Nick knows that what he's staring down is different than anything he's done before, and you really think you want to take that on at 74 years old and then potentially tarnish your legacy? No, that's Nick's done. He's the GOAT. He's the unquestioned GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. No one can, and no one, by the way, will ever touch him because in this world of college football, no one will replicate what Nick Saban did.
Yeah.
No one will be able to do what Saban did at LSU and then at Alabama. It's not going to happen. So why would you? And he doesn't need the money.
No.
I mean, my God. He does not. He doesn't need the money. So, no, I don't think there's a number enough to get him out. So, he's going nowhere.
And plus, he seems terribly happy with daddy time in the hot tub at the Airbnb.
Yes.
We don't have a sound for this one because apparently it seems like nobody cared that Oregon State beat Lafayette for their first win of the season.
No.
Those Lafayette Leopards,
Leopards.
Yes, the Lafayette Leopards. Zero highlights. Look, 45-13. It's a win. Good for the Beavs. Go Beavs. Are we just looking at, first off, I mean, Lafayette, they were first in the Patriot League coming into this, but that's also the Patriot League. Are we just looking at a fired coach bump, or are we looking in the right direction?
No, it's a fired coach bump. And by the way, you were trailing at the half to Lafayette. I mean, you were down. I mean, I was sitting there, and I was on the other side of the globe. I was actually getting ready to fly back, and I was sitting in an airport, and I flipped over to that game on my phone, and I was like, oh, my God, they're losing to Lafayette. I think it was 13-10 at the half. And I was like, if you want to know what rock bottom is, like we've been saying, Oregon State's trying to find rock bottom, and we think they had found it. Mm-hmm. No, because there is a deeper depth, and that's losing at home to Lafayette.
But I know where rock bottom was. It wasn't Second and Morrison. That was a company that I worked for Old Chicago, and they had a gigantic chicken fried steak. But I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
No. But, you know, give them credit, right? They came out in the second half. They made a quarterback change. By the way, that's going to be permanent. Mm-hmm. Malik Murphy is not going to be the quarterback going forward.
Sounds like a wise investment.
And look, I'm not kicking dirt on Oregon State. That's a program that is in desperate need of a reset. And they put together a committee to hire their next coach, like a search committee. Brendan Cooks is on this. Mike Riley is on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then one of the Reesers. Yeah. So they've, you know, they've got some people.
Can we get a Mike Hass in there?
Well, and that's the thing. When I see this committee.
But is that always the best way to go?
I don't even know what that means. Like, are we taking a vote? Like, you know, we bring in candidates and then we all give like thumbs up, thumbs down. Right. We're like Caligula here. We're like an emperor. I don't know what that means. Ultimately, it falls on Scott Barnes, which is awkward in itself because most of the fans want they want Scott Barnes fired. Mm-hmm. Now Scott Barnes is coming out and be like, well, look who I've hired in the past. And I hired Paul Wolf at Eastern Washington. I hired Matt Wells at Utah State. So he's touting his success. Look, the bottom line is this is a monster hire for Oregon State.
Yeah.
I still think from top to bottom, I think Oregon State could use a cleanse. But it doesn't sound like Scott Barnes is going anywhere. So get over that. This hire, all I'm hoping for two things from Oregon State. Please don't go down the road of you have to hire someone with ties to Oregon State.
Right.
I thought the dumbest thing they did was Trent Bray was willing to take the job. Great. Like, that's where you're at. You're just taking a guy because he was willing to take the job and that he was willing to stick around after Jonathan Smith. Stop it. Well, he doesn't have to have ties. Nick Saban didn't have ties to LSU and he didn't have ties to Alabama, and he turned out pretty good. Dan Lanning doesn't have ties to Oregon, and he turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need that. So stop trying to cling to the past. Stop doing a woe is me sort of thing. Go do what Washington State did.
Stop doing the woe is me. Washington State, right now, they're doing just fine.
Yeah.
And even if just fine is not good enough for you, they are kicking the crap out of you in the post-Pac-12 department.
Washington State had this same thing happen to them. Their coach left them. They got left behind in the Pac-12. By the way, they had not
one. And they had a Nick Rolovich moment, too.
Yeah, they had that. They had that whole thing happen. They had two elite quarterbacks back-to-back years in Cam Ward and John Mateer leave you, right? To one go on to be the number one pick and Mateer to be a potential Heisman Trophy guy. And they didn't go out and try to go hire Bill Doba again. They didn't try to go out and find Drew Bledsoe. They went out and got Jimmy Rogers from South Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you know, it hasn't been like gangbusters there, but the last 2 weeks.
And also at the Boston Celtics.
They took Ole Miss into deep water and damn near had that. They took Virginia into deep water and damn near had them. Right? So they are playing their ass off. They're not doing a woe is me thing. So if you're Oregon State, quit. I don't want Bronco Mendenhall. Get out of here. Stop with that crap. Go down and go find the Montana State coach. Go find the guy at Holy Cross. Go find the Brennan down at, was it Sac State that runs that go-go offense. Go find a young, energetic guy that runs a high-paced offense that gets people excited. And yes, he'll be gone in 3 years. But if he's gone in 3 years, it means that you've won 10 games over the last 2 years.
Right.
And the program is better. Stop trying to get the guy that's not going to break your heart. Stop trying to get the guy that's good enough to win here, but not good enough to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Stop that. You're better than that.
Well, and while I can appreciate all of the Ed Orgeron State stuff, not happening.
No, don't go get Ed Orgeron.
Not happening. Stop it. Pie in the sky.
Stop it. Go Nick Rolovich. Go find Nick Rolovich. Like, he's a special assistant at Cal. That guy runs a fun offense. He didn't have the weird COVID stuff with you. That stuff's over. Go get Nick Rolovich. Go do that. Get someone that actually...
Nick Rolovich redemption tour.
Yes. Go find someone that excites a fan base and that, quote, doesn't have ties to Oregon State. That's where I'm going with that. Stockwatch brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. Get your questions answered for free. Goldberg Jones, 1-800-DIVORCE for all your questions. We come back and abbreviated in the news, then we turn it over to Monday Night Football. Primetime here on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. A little turn and burn here. We got Monday Night Football, so we're squeezing in one segment in the news, and then we'll turn you over to the Seahawks here. So let's get right to it. It is October 20th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I am your Noted News contributor, sitting in for your Noted News man, who will be back tomorrow. I think he's on his way back from San Diego. It is National Chicken and Waffles Day today, which is wonderful, and it's actual National Day of Writing Day. So if you're someone that keeps a journal, kudos to you. I don't know who journals anymore, but if you do it, today is your day. Just time for a couple quick stories here. Neither one of them particularly good. The government shutdown apparently is set to halt SNAP benefits. That's the food stamps.
What feeds people that need the money for food?
Yeah. Basically, 757,000 Oregonians are being informed that if the government remains shut down, that after October 31st, you will not be receiving any more SNAP benefits. So if you are one of those people, I'm sorry. Keep an eye out. They said that kind of familiarize yourself. There are some food banks and stuff, that there's resources out there to try to get some free meals, but kind of scary there for people that rely on that. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, actually it's only about 10 days, knock on for Micah here, that we can
guess you're still gonna get fed and paid though.
Yeah. Also, on another bit of happy news, get ready for more inflatable frogs, because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has indeed ruled today that the National Guard is coming to Portland. Hey! So apparently the Trump administration may now deploy National Guard troops to Portland. A judge decided on Monday. So apparently the 60 people that gather each and every night that have done everything from a naked bike ride to inflatable frogs to some sort of weird dance-off thing, apparently now we need National Guard troops to protect one federal building in one square block of not even downtown Portland. So
it's terrifying down there. It's a war zone.
Get ready for that. All right, I told you it was an abbreviated edition of In the News. Again, turn and burn. We got one more segment when we come back, and then we'll turn it over to Monday Night Football and Game 7, Mariners Blue Jays tonight. You've got 105.1 The Fan. The fella once said, I'm putting a bow on this abbreviated edition of Primetime. The whole crew is back tomorrow. Actually, you know, Schulte's back tomorrow. I mean, the whole crew, like Buckley's gone, so we're in a temporary holding pattern until we find a permanent crew.
All right.
Yeah, Schulte is he's filling in. He's like long relief for us. I think Schulte wants
there
to be
there. There we go.
Well, I think I don't think we've made any decisions on who that would be. But Rop will be back tomorrow. He's
it's
back
all a big bullpen game.
Big bullpen game. Yeah, we got the starter game today, but Rop will be back tomorrow. And then it's a great night. We got this Bucks Lions game, which is going to be good, and then the Seahawks and Texans. We'll be here on The Fan. Pre-game starts here in about, 5 minutes? Then the game will start around 7 o'clock. And then I think 5 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't it 5 o'clock we got Blue Jays Mariners?
That would be correct, sir. 5:08 first pitch.
Yeah, 5:08. So yeah. It's a nice little night. Dare I say, more than a nice little night. This is a big time. And then, of course, you got the NHL. You got the Kraken and Flyers. So there is a chance for all Seattle teams to win and or lose tonight, depending on what you think of Seattle.
I did joke today, too, that while I'm not a huge baseball man, I frequently confuse George Kirby and Logan Gilbert because they are both two first name guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tonight you got Shane Bieber versus George Kirby. This is the same matchup that you had in Game 3. And Bieber was great, and Kirby gave up 8 runs and got absolutely shelled. And so Kirby's going to be on a short leash. And by the way, everyone's available tonight. I mean, Wu could be coming out of the bullpen. I think he's only pitched, 2 innings since he hurt his pec, but he was their best pitcher in the regular season. My guess is if Kirby at all gets in any sort of trouble, they're going to go right to Wu. Muñez hasn't pitched in a couple days, so he may go 2.5 innings. I mean, you're going to get Max Scherzer out of the bullpen for Toronto.
We might see Freddie Garcia or Randy Johnson.
Maybe
some Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays closer threw 35, 36 pitches. And on the broadcast, they were like, well, this makes him unavailable for tomorrow night. And I forget who was doing the color was like, yeah, no, it doesn't. Trust me. If your arm isn't falling off, you are going to be available tonight.
Not so fast, my friend.
This is everything you could want. And the Seattle Mariners have never, ever been to a World Series. They've never even been to a Game 7 for a chance to go to the World Series. So this is all the marbles. And I'm not a diehard Mariner fan or anything, but I like rooting for the local teams. And it's the closest we have to a local team. So dare I say, as much as I think the Blue Jays are a fun story, go Mariners tonight, go Seahawks. So let's put aside petty differences tonight and pull for our brethren up north. All right, you've been listening to Primetime with Suk and Rust. Whole crew back tomorrow on 105.1 The Fan.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.